Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 552. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, are we up to our armpits in the holidays? Wow. So many holiday events and parties and shopping, and they're counting down the days of how many shopping days you have left, and plans to travel, and people coming to town, and oof, it's hard to get the good 5 hours of sleep a night that I need to even be a human being, let alone to function. It's just now I'm on caffeine, folks, a little bit, which I don't ever do caffeine. I get my caffeine, though, in the form of tiramisu. And I want to say thank you to the wonderful Steppenwolf Theater. They had a wonderful holiday party, which I got to be a part of with their partners. And it was super fun to sit and eat with them. And at the end of the meal came the tiramisu. And I thought, you know what? I don't eat caffeine. I don't drink caffeine. But what the heck? And take a big old scoop of holiday cheer, so to speak. So I feel like I can kind of run the world right now. I'm on a little bit of a caffeine high. You know who else could run the world? Beyonce. And did everybody download the visual album on Friday? Well, not only did I download the album, but I went to the United Center and stood on the dance floor in general admission, which is the way to see Mrs. Carter. And man, that ferocity came at me for an hour and 45 minutes. And we had a good time. It was a good time in the snow and the holiday cheer that Mrs. Carter brings. So it was a good show. It was a good show. I also feel my age a little bit when I head out to those big concerts. But I am going this week to see the We Three Lizas with our very own Scott Duff. So excited about that, and many of the other of the crazy about face theater gang. And then I'm heading over to see the show that Mitchell directed, with Megan Murphy, Big Red, one of our favorites. Her big red holiday show with the boys, which is also going to be at Theater Wit, where Mitchell's doing Santaland. So I'm not done yet. I'm really, I've got my holiday barometer at like a 10 right now and really enjoying keeping it on high octane. I did this test online on Facebook that said, you know, what's the actual age of your brain? And I was 25. Mitchell was 16. But we're not surprised by that, right? Oh, happy holidays, everyone. And it is a time of abundance, I hope, for people, that they experience joy. And abundance can be a good thing and a bad thing, or not a bad thing, but it doesn't always mean abundance is just, oh, abundance of good. It can just mean that it's a lot, that it's very full, that life is full. And It is easy to see that life is full during this time of year, or maybe you find that life is has some spaces and has some void in areas that you would like to create more abundance. And one of those things that I know many of us, male, female, gay, straight, LGBTQ, or whatever, that we consider is the idea to nurture, the idea to mentor, the idea to parent another being as someone who has gone a little bit before or a lot before a child in this thing called life. And so I'm really super excited that today we're going to be speaking with someone who can explore this conversation about what it would mean to be a parent, what it would mean to have a child, you know, through whatever measures that takes. And there are lots of avenues today for us as LGBT people to consider becoming parents. And we're going to be talking more and more about that in today's show. And also, I've been speaking with a lot of different people in the community. You know, now there are people who want gay and lesbian foster parents, which is such a wonderful thing that communities who are looking for homes for children see us as a viable community. And at the same time, maybe that's something that you as an individual or you in your partnership have thought, I would like to have a child and bring that abundance into my life and into the life of the community, of my community and my family. So I am thrilled that we are going to be exploring that today with the good folks at Davies Fertility. And it's always an interesting conversation, and one that I don't think that many of us as gay and lesbian people maybe have paused to ask. You know, we're looked at as though our lives aren't the norm, the two-parent picket fence, 2.2 children. And yet for many GLBT people, to have a child is something that that is a dream, that is a calling. And I am so excited that we get to sit down and explore that topic today with Davies Fertility, the IVF specialist, and talk about what that means as gay and lesbian people, and what the options are for us. So we're going to be talking about being parents, becoming parents, and the practicalities of having a child on today's podcast. So I'm very excited. Also, we've got the GLBT news with you. With us, with the wonderful Kirk Williamson, who's off a little bit of a break, and he is back with us this week. He is with us every week, telling us what's going on in the news and also what's going on in the theater scene. Plus, coming up is a two-part podcast, our year in review with managing editor Andrew Davies and our new associate editor, and we'll be introducing you to Matt as well on the next shows. All right. Lock in. It's time for a big show.
The Joffrey Ballet presents America's number one nutcracker, Chicago's most beloved holiday tradition. The Washington Post hails it a perfect ballet and a theatrical event of irresistible power. The Chicago Tribune called it majestic and intoxicating. For an evening of pure enchantment, including a live orchestral performance of Tchaikovsky's glorious score. See the Joffrey Ballet's The Nutcracker, December 6th through the 28th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit us online, joffrey.org. Special thanks to the Nutcracker presenting sponsor, Gems World Academy, Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. In Utah, United States District Judge Robert J. Shelby has said he'll do his best to rule by early next year on a legal challenge to a same-sex marriage ban throughout the state. Shelby heard arguments from both sides as he weighed what will be a precedent-setting decision on Utah's 2004 voter-passed law.
In Paris, Tennessee, a violent beating some are calling a hate crime happened inside a health food store. Police say the owner was beaten unconscious, robbed of $1,200, and had a three-letter anti-gay slur written on his forehead in marker. Paris police say as three men beat the man, they called him defamatory names. The victim told police he awoke to see two of the men pouring gas on the floor.
A New Jersey waitress who raked in thousands in donations after claiming the couple didn't tip her because she's gay was fired from her job December 7th. The restaurant announced Dana Morales' termination on Facebook shortly after it was released. She was returning donations from supporters across the world. Morales had originally claimed a couple stiffed her in a $93.55 bill and left a note saying, "I'm sorry, but I cannot tip because I do not agree with your lifestyle." However, the couple produced receipts showing an $18 tip.
A Colorado judge ruled that a baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex ceremony must serve gay couples despite his religious beliefs. The judge said Masterpiece Cake Shop in suburban Denver will face fines if it continues to turn away gay couples who want to buy cakes for their wedding celebrations. Shop owner Jack Phillips had argued that making cakes for gay wedding ceremonies violates his Christian beliefs.
United States Representative Jackie Speier, the Democrat from California, has reintroduced the Stop Harming Our Kids resolution, a measure asking the United States House of Reps to encourage states to take steps to prevent minors from being harmed by gay to straight conversion therapy. The practice is now banned in California and New Jersey and several other states. Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York, Wisconsin, and Ohio are considering similar measures.
Edith Edie Windsor, the plaintiff in the June 2013 Supreme Court decision that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, came in at number three for Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Pope Francis was the publication's top choice for the honor.
Cecilia Perez Matos, the youngest daughter of Carlos Andres Perez, a former two-time president of Venezuela, will marry her fiancé, Michelle Santil, in a historic ceremony in December in Cleveland, Ohio. The couple will first travel to New York, where same-sex marriage is legal, to obtain their marriage license before getting married in Ohio. Ohio has not yet passed a marriage equality law.
Extending marriage rights to same-sex couples in New Mexico would bring an estimated $20.4 million to the state economy over the first 3 years. There are currently more than 5,800 same-sex couples living in New Mexico, and an estimated 50% of those, according to surveys, would marry in the first 3 years.
The Obama administration is set to re-examine the ban that prohibits Medicare from covering gender reassignment surgery. A December 2nd document from the Department of Health and Human Services finds that the reasoning for the ban is not complete and adequate to support denying Medicare coverage for transgender people seeking the procedure. The next step is proceeding into a discovery phase for the taking of evidence to determine whether the ban can be justified.
The U.S. Coast Guard Academy has seen its first same-sex engagement. Cadet First Class Caitlin Ward got down on one knee and proposed to her longtime girlfriend, Lauren Block. This is the first announcement of its type. They plan to marry in 2015.
In world news, India's Supreme Court has upheld a law that criminalizes gay sex. The decision reverses a landmark 2009 Delhi High Court order that had decriminalized same-sex acts. According to Section 377, a 153-year-old colonial law, a same-sex relationship is an unnatural offense that is punishable by a 10-year jail term.
The first same-sex weddings in England and Wales will take place March 29, 2014. Also, gay and lesbian couples who married abroad under foreign law and are currently treated as civil partners will be treated as married as well as of March.
Australia's High Court has overturned legislation allowing same-sex marriage in the Australian Capital Territory, or ACT. The ACT Parliament passed a bill in October making the territory the first part of Australia to legalize same-sex weddings. But the national government challenged the decision, saying it was inconsistent with federal laws. Now, 30 couples who married since the law came into effect will have their unions declared invalid.
In Taiwan, the Ministry of Health and Welfare has decided to allow people to change their legal gender without transitioning. Transgender and intersex communities have praised the decision for matching their needs.
Openly gay speed skater Blake Schellerup missed out on an automatic bid to the Sochi Olympics by one position, becoming the first alternate. Schellerup, who was poised to become the first out gay male competitor in Winter Olympics history, competed in the 2010 Winter Olympics for New Zealand before coming out publicly.
Gay and unmarried couples are now free to adopt children in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland now joins England, Scotland, and Wales, the rest of the UK, in allowing gay couples to adopt.
In entertainment news, Jared Leto and James Franco tied for the Best Supporting Actor Award at the LA Film Critics Association Awards for Dallas Buyers Club and Spring Breakers, respectively. Bruce Dern was named Best Actor. Cate Blanchett and Adele Exarchopoulos shared the award for their performance in Blue Jasmine and the lesbian-themed Blue is the Warmest Color.
Lady Gaga went full frontal for the cover of Canada's Candy magazine with her pubic hair in full view. Candy magazine celebrates androgynous style and describes itself as the first transversal style magazine.
Contestants for the sixth season of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting in February, include Gia Dunn, the only contestant from Chicago. Others include April Carrion, from Puerto Rico, Vivacious of New York City, LaGanja Estranja of Los Angeles, Milk from New York City, and Azusa, California's Adore Delano.
Tickets are now available for the Broadway production of If Then, starring Tony Award winner Idina Menzel. Previews begin March 5th, and the new musical reunites the team behind the Pulitzer and Tony Award-winning musical Next to Normal. Also this week, after a decade of marriage, Idina Menzel and Taye Diggs announced they have separated. The couple met in the original production of Rent in the mid-1990s.
The family of Norman Rockwell is waging a fierce campaign against a new biography of him that implies that the late artist could have been secretly gay or harbored pedophilic impulses. American Mirror, Deborah Solomon's account of Rockwell's life, raises the question of whether Rockwell was gay.
President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama were on hand for the 36th annual Kennedy Center Honors. Honorees were opera singer Martina Arroyo, pianist, composer Herbie Hancock, singer-songwriter Billy Joel, actress Shirley MacLaine, and musician-songwriter Carlos Santana. Shirley MacLaine's brother, Warren Beatty, is a previous Kennedy Center Honor recipient, making them the first brother-sister team to both receive the honor.
Ben Whishaw will play Freddie Mercury in the forthcoming biopic about the late Queen singer. Earlier this year, Whishaw, of Skyfall and Cloud Atlas fame, confirmed speculation that he is gay and happily married to composer Mark Bradshaw.
Family Ties star Meredith Baxter, 66, has tied the knot with contractor Nancy Locke in Los Angeles. Close friends and family, including Baxter's five children, attended. The couple had been dating for 7 years.
The American Masters series presents composer Marvin Hamlisch's life and career in the series' 27-season finale, Marvin Hamlisch, What He Did for Love, on PBS Friday, December 27th. The program includes interviews with Hamlisch's family, Barbara Streisand, Carly Simon, Steven Soderbergh, Quincy Jones, and Margaret, and many others.
HBO Films is developing Mae West, with Bette Midler attached to star and executive produce. Harvey Fierstein, who penned the book for the Tony Award-winning musical Kinky Boots, is writing the script. Mae West, based on West's autobiography Goodness Had Nothing to Do With It, chronicles West's rise to stardom after writing and starring in her scandalous Broadway show Sex.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Chicago, it's Idina Menzel, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
Kaweer!
Happy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the
the week of December 16th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Prepare for a jolly good night out at Chicago's Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. Chicago sometimes praises it as a warm-hearted, exuberantly active production. Chicago Now says the Merry Wives themselves are Lucy and Ethel perfection in this comedy classic that has all the glee of the season. The Merry Wives of Windsor is playing now, January 19th. More at ChicagoShakes.com.
Timeline Theater Company has another formidable production, says the Chicago Tribune, about The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's landmark drama about the AIDS crisis. The Chicago Sun-Times calls The Normal Heart breathtaking, and Time Out Chicago awards it 5 stars. For tickets, visit TimelineTheater.com. The Normal Heart must close December 29th at Stage 773.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Lesbians are having children, building families. We always have. But more and more, as our relationships are protected through new federal and state legislation, the quest to parent or to make a family may be more evident than ever. Dr. Susan Davies is the owner and founder of Davies Fertility and IVF Specialists, SC. She is a double board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and in reproductive endocrinology and infertility. She completed both her OB residency and REI fellowship at Rush University Medical Center right here in Chicago, and has been recognized as Administrative Chief Resident, Woman of the Year, and the Gold Star Award for Outstanding Patient Care. After this, she may be also Gold Star Award for Outstanding Podcasting. I am thrilled to have her with us to kind of debunk what might seem a very complicated process and give us information and resources about getting pregnant, whether you are two men or a single man, two women or a single woman who hopes to have the miracle and the gift of having a child added to their life. So, Dr. Davies, thanks for being on with me.
It's my pleasure. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am too. You know, I've been doing this for a really long time. And we've talked a lot with people once they're moms or once they're dads or once they adopt or once they've, you know, dealing with parenting, I feel like I've talked about. But I really have overlooked the whole conversation and the whole journey that is for gays and lesbians a very conscious decision, a very conscious path toward becoming a mother or a father. So obviously, what differs for gay men and lesbians, as I told my parents when I came out, I said, well, I'll never accidentally get pregnant. And that's true, but for gay men and lesbians, the exploration of pregnancy and fertility may differ. So can we start with men? Let's kind of start with gay men, and what are the procedures that they may explore when they decide they want to be fathers?
That's great. Usually with gay men, I love to meet the couple first, mm-hmm. and, you know, just individualize their patient care, make them feel comfortable, make sure that they know all of their rights. Usually they will use an egg donor, and there's plenty of places that we can lead them to help them pick out the egg donor of their dreams. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they'll coordinate that with a surrogate. So what we tend to do, take the eggs out of the egg donor, fertilize the eggs with one or both of the partner's sperm, and then put embryos into the surrogate. And we have plenty of resources and plenty of different places that we work with to help them achieve their dream of becoming parents.
So when you say you like to meet with the couples, what are you looking for? And what are some of the facts and things you are giving them to think about as the process starts?
I like to meet with them, answer any questions that they have. For my male patients, it's very important to get a sperm count. Mm-hmm. So we know that they are fertile. If a sperm count is very low, still in vitro fertilization works great. Mm-hmm. But then I do usually recommend that they meet with a urologist too, just for their own health matters.
Mm-hmm.
We coordinate that usually with a psychologist also to okay. make sure that both partners are on the same page, and also with a fertility lawyer to make sure that everybody's on board, they know their legal rights, and everybody appreciates that the children that result from the treatment will be theirs,
mm-hmm.
and not the egg donor or the surrogates.
Now, when you're talking about egg donors, I mean, this might be something that many women want to be a part of, that type of gift, I guess you could say, or service, to be an egg donor. What are you looking for an egg donor, and what does it mean to be an egg donor?
What I love for my patients is if the egg donor is between the ages of 21 and 29, that's when we're peakly fertile and we have less chromosomally abnormal eggs.
Okay.
So usually I'll have my, usually people don't know somebody who they want to have donate eggs. So there's different agencies around that we refer them to. They can pick out an egg donor. And once they pick out an egg donor, I meet with her in person, screen her, make sure that she can fulfill all the FDA requirements to prevent disease transmission to the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
We also, it's very important that we know about their family history, that they also meet with a psychologist and a lawyer so they know their rights,
mm-hmm.
and coordinate the cycle, answer any questions for them. I love it if they've donated before,
okay.
because then that way we can see how successful were they, what type of stimulation protocol do they need. I also love it if they got the recipient couple pregnant, and also if they have extra frozen embryos so the couple have backup options.
Okay. Now, is there a reason to have the egg donor and not just find a surrogate, a woman willing to use her own eggs?
Both of those are options.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's dependent on what the single man or the couple desires.
Mm-hmm. And would technically, I mean, this is just an interesting technical question, might lead me to something with the women, but if you have an egg donor and you have a different surrogate and then you have the male sperm, will it have the DNA of all three?
No, that's a great question. So in that case, the surrogate is just acting as a host uterus.
Okay.
So genetically, it would be half of the male partner, half of the egg donor.
Okay.
But we're just putting the embryos in the surrogate at that point,
okay.
to have her, you know, host the pregnancy for the 9 to 10 months.
Okay. And then for lesbians and women, they obviously need assistance in fertilizing a sperm. Sometimes, I mean, we've heard with lesbians the turkey baster method. Do you need a middleman or middlewoman?
I think it's helpful with my same-sex lesbian couples. You know, I like to talk with them, find out what are their intentions, which out of the couple or with the single woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure that they are indeed fertile. I don't want to just assume that they are.
Right.
So usually what we do blood work on the third day of their period, called an FSH and estradiol level. I check their thyroid and their prolactin level. I do an anti-Müllerian hormone level. This just lets me know that they're fertile and they have options. I also tend to do a water ultrasound of their uterus called a hysterosonogram to make sure that their uterus is normal. There's no polyps, no fibroids, nothing that can prevent an embryo from attaching, and that the fallopian tubes are open. And then for the same-sex couples, if they're of unproven fertility, I start off with the ovulation predictor kits and just test their luteal phase progesterone level. If their cycle's great, we'll try some cycles without any fertility medications at all and just do an intrauterine insemination because they're just missing sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's wrong, we try to correct it. We can put them on different types of fertility treatment if it's indicated. And we tend to use sperm. California Cryobank's one that I really like a lot, but we just want to make sure that the sperm's been quarantined, if it's an anonymous donor, and all the FDA requirements have been met.
Mm-hmm. So is there a prime age range for women to be looking into pregnancy and carrying a child?
That's a great question. Nowadays, with egg freezing, if somebody doesn't want to be a parent right now, you know, they've delayed things for education or for their career, we have the option of freezing eggs. And then that way, let's say that they're mid-30s, they're not waiting until they're in their 40s to become pregnant when the chances of becoming pregnant go down quite substantially and the risk of genetic abnormalities in the eggs go up. So one option, definitely, if you don't want to be pregnant now, but you may in the future, freeze eggs or freeze embryos.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, fertility, they say, starts decreasing in the late 20s, but definitely starts going down a lot at 35. But you have to also do what's right for you. If you're not ready for a family, and if somebody didn't want to freeze their eggs, you know, I would at least, if it's in the back of their minds, do some testing so they know their options to see mm-hmm. how fertile they are at this point in time.
So if they freeze eggs, they harvest their eggs, maybe they want to, maybe it is career or maybe it is, they haven't found the partner that they want to have a family with, but they want that option. Is freezing the egg and then using the egg later, even if you're a bit older, it's a better better percentage of success?
Absolutely, because they are of the quality that they were at the time that they were frozen.
Mm.
And freezing eggs used to not be very successful and considered experimental, but now with vitrification, which is a different way of freezing eggs, hugely successful. And, you know, prime time in your 20s, if somebody's up for it, or early 30s.
Okay.
And then we can unfreeze the eggs, fertilize them, and put the embryos into somebody's uterus. If they know that they want to use a sperm donor, we can actually freeze the embryos too and just hold them in time.
Mm-hmm.
Our fertility does nothing except get worse with age, so they're stalled at a time from when the eggs were frozen.
And how long can you keep eggs frozen?
Indefinitely.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Wow. So do you ever find, I guess you kind of answered my DNA question, but I always wondered, could, if you had a lesbian couple, could one woman harvest her eggs and then the other woman be the surrogate so both moms feel a part of the process? Or is that just an expensive and labor-intensive way to do it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've had plenty of same-sex couples where one of them doesn't want to be pregnant and they basically, you know, donate their eggs to the other, to their partner. That's definitely an option.
Mm-hmm.
I really like to do it if it's medically indicated. That's my preference. But then, you know, if it's not and that's how they want to include each other, definitely an option.
Now, I know one of the things you specialize in as well is fertility preservation for cancer patients. How do you deal with individuals who have battled cancer and won want to still have a family?
Yeah, that's a great question. Usually what we do, people tend to come to me when they've just been diagnosed and they can't become pregnant right now and they may be undergoing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, which can decrease their chances of becoming pregnant in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So what we tend to do is a quick IVF cycle. I make sure with their oncologist that they're up for it and they're, you know, that everything is good. Then we do the same thing. We take out their eggs, freeze them either as eggs or as embryos if they have a partner, and, you know, hold them in time until they can either use a surrogate right away to have the child, or usually what they'll do is just wait a couple of years, and if they're cancer-free, put the embryos back or eggs, freeze them and put them back into the uterus.
Mm-hmm. Is what do you think the biggest misconception about the work you do is?
That's a great question. I think nowadays it's so extremely successful. And that's when I was doing my fellowship years ago, IVF just wasn't very successful and it was hard, you know, just giving people bad news and not being able to help them as much. Nowadays with ICSI, where we can inject a sperm into the egg, we get great fertilization. We can freeze eggs. We can freeze embryos. The culture mediums are way better than what they were in the 90s. We can put embryos in the uterus on day 5 when they should be there.
Wow.
One thing I really like to do now is limit the number of embryos that we're putting in to avoid multiples.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I would think that would be one of the biggest misconceptions is that if you use a fertility clinic or you use IVF or any of these options that you might have a multiple birth, which might be terrifying for many people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we tend to, if somebody really just does not want to have multiples, we can do in vitro fertilization where we take the eggs out, fertilize them, and actually test the DNA of the embryo, make sure that all 24 chromosomes are normal, and just put one embryo into somebody's uterus. Mm. By doing that, there is always still a small chance of identical twins, but usually not.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned counseling as being something that you definitely offer for, I'm sure, gay or lesbian couples or anyone who comes into your
office.
I mean, becoming a parent is
stressful.
A big life change and trying to do it in this way is stressful. Do you feel that it is something to address from the start because maybe so many couples feel scared or there's so much information or maybe they've been trying to get pregnant naturally and can't?
Absolutely. And it's nice to have, you know, the advice of your friends and family, of course, but then somebody who's just impartial and just deals with the stresses of infertility or big life changes that you're about to make.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are really the biggest differences for gays and lesbians in becoming parents, or are all of us the same?
The one thing I've noticed with my same-sex lesbian couples, they have such good support between the two of them. It's a pleasure to take care of them. And they just work as a team. You know, I really admire that about them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good to
know. Yeah.
Now, obviously, all of our listeners are not in the Chicago area. If you are in the Chicago area, you're in luck because you can go to Davies, a fertility and IVF specialist who have a history and have a desire to work with same-sex couples and gay and lesbian people and helping us to become parents. And they're open 6 days a week and located in Glenview. We're going to give you more information on that in a minute. But are there, if you don't live in the Chicago, greater Chicago area, what resources should you be looking for? What should you be listening for and looking to when finding a place to help you build a family?
That's a great question. I think one of the main things that I would recommend to people, look and see who's local for you, but make sure that they're board certified. You have to be board certified in OB, but not everybody's board certified in as a reproductive endocrinologist fertility specialist. I think it's really important to be board certified. And also a great resource, if you look at our webpage, we have a couple links, and one of my favorites, ASRM, or the American Society of Reproductive Medicine. It's an excellent resource for anybody to go to.
That's fantastic. Well, if this is a dream of yours, if you want to be a parent, and if you are saying to yourself, you know, maybe now I could do this. Maybe I want to gather information because at some point I might want to do this. There's no harm in having your information. It doesn't mean you have to get pregnant tomorrow. It does mean that you're just putting the next foot in front of the other to helping you achieve your dream and your goal of parenting. So for a consultation or for information, you can contact in the Chicago area Davies Fertility and IVF Specialist SC. They are open 6 days a week and located at 2601 Compass Road in Glenview, Illinois. You can explore all this information and see all of their services. There is a lot of great resources on their website, which we will have linked in our notes. It's daviesivf.com. And if you want to make a phone call there, you can call 847-972-0300. That's 847-972-0300. Dr. Davies, thank you so much for helping us kind of untangle what seems a very complicated journey, but is a very hopeful one. Lots of information and resources available.
Thank you, Amy. It's my pleasure.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everyone, I hope you have happy holidays. I hope that if being a parent is something that you have considered, that you can gather the information and then decide for yourself. You know, just because you gather information doesn't have to mean anything happens, but it could be the next step to considering if being a parent is right for you or right for your partnership. So happy holidays, everyone. Have a wonderful week. And next week, I'm so excited. We get to look back at 2013, the year that was. Huge for us as GLBT people. And we'll talk about all of the ways locally, nationally, internationally, and in the world of entertainment, the news stories that were the top news stories of 2013. Hope you have a good week. See you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.